Hello everyone. So I have thought about what type of self-employed independent contractor, adult entertainer that I would be. And I said to myself, if I were running an adult film business in particular, I would not publish anything that everyone is not 100% happy with. See, when you publicize human beings in terms of their sexual behavior and non-sexual behavior, there's a risk that if everyone's not 100% happy with how they're displayed or featured, that civil charges and criminal charges could come your way. So if I'm running an adult film business, everyone from executive leadership to the performers, to the film crews, and to those who do other behind the scenes porn jobs, like the writers, the editors, those who do the payroll, the billing services, those who do the tax services, and you know, those who do like the trade shows, the various events, the managers, and so on and so forth. Everyone has to 100% enjoy the porn products. And if they don't 100% enjoy the porn products, especially before it is released to the world to behold and to self-pleasure to, then I won't put out anything until everyone's 100% happy. Because that means that they won't change their minds later, because we would constantly go through it and meaning evaluation. So we would evaluate enough where I know for certain they won't change their minds later, because sometimes when people are not 100% happy, some people may pretend to be, and then you get, they put you in civil court, criminal court later. But if you go over it with them repetitively, but not annoyingly, they'll take that as a sign of you care about their concerns and care about them. So when it's all out there, they'll promote it with you gleefully. But if they're not 100% happy with you and in the products, then you have your livelihood financially as well as potential incarceration to consider. So I do care about making sure that all the porn genres, none of them are disgusting and none of them are off-putting. Like, for example, the porn genre of incest, not allowed. The porn genre of statutory rape, not allowed. The porn genre of pedophilia, not allowed. The porn genre of sexually objectifying teens, not allowed. The porn genre of bestiality, not allowed. The porn genre of having sex with aliens, not allowed. The porn genre of humans having sex with cartoons, not allowed. You know, the porn genre of dishonoring menstruation cycles, not allowed. The porn genre of of cheating and adultery, not allowed. The porn genre of office sex, which you could actually call it sexual abuse depending upon who's the subordinate and who's superior, not allowed. The porn genre of sex with your friend's hot mom, but there's no sense of no trauma complexes and no awkwardness, that's just not allowed. The porn genre of nobody using birth control when it comes to the sex, and that's how most of the sex is, that's not allowed. Everybody got to have birth control. If it's not a condom, take a shot, take a pill, take something. The porn genre of sexually objectifying women that are considered large in size by society, BBW, that's not allowed, man. Nah. The porn genre of sexually objectifying older women, not every older woman is a mother, that whole MILF, no, that's not allowed. The whole genre of sexually objectifying elderly women, Jill, that's not allowed. The porn genre of sexually object, because not every elderly woman is a grandmother, by the way. It's porn genre of sexually objectifying of elderly men, G-DILFs, like, that's not allowed, because not every elderly man is a grandfather. The porn genre of sexually objectifying older men, DILF, not every older man is a father. I just noticed that those are stereotypes that are grotesque, and these porn genres have been proven to be sexually disturbing to many people around the world. Human rights concerns as a result of these particular porn genres. And there's more human rights concerns to other porn genres I'm gonna bring up. So, and this is all off the top of my head, by the way. I'm doing more episodes like this. The porn genre of gay for pay, not allowed, because you should have the right to have the kind of sex that is fully true to your sexual orientation. You shouldn't have to take roles where you're paid more for having the kind of sex you normally wouldn't have because that's not your sexual orientation in particular. No, you have to have the kind of sex that's true for sexual orientation. That's what I would require. If you're straight, you can only have straight sex. If you're into more than one gender, that's the type of sex you should stay true to. You'll be paid the same, whether you're straight or gay or bi or trans or lesbian or bisexual, I say again, or pansexual. Hey, just that's how I feel. And the porn genre of big black penises, they don't say the penis word, but I'm saying it to be respectful. Nah, that porn genre is not allowed because that's dehumanizing black men that don't have large penises, large testicles. It's like, no. Penis envy is not real manhood. That is disgusting because Your manhood is not about your genitalia, it's about your character. And that's also dehumanizing other men. Oh, if you're not big, black, penis having, and you're not black, then the black man with the big penis is more of a man than a non-black man with a big penis or non-black man who doesn't have a big penis. It's like, nah, no. The stereo, the porn genre of ebony, no. Racism roots, unacceptable to me. Plus, not every black woman likes the term ebony. I've noticed, because I've talked about the black stereotypes in porn before, but I've noticed that there's Asian stereotypes in porn where submissive or into martial arts, or they're all good at math, or making fun of their accents. They'll have the Asian porn stars speak in stereotypical Asian ways, which I think is just filthy to do. So all those Asian stereotypes in porn, not allowed, no. Then they stereotype like Asian women as, oh my God, an Asian woman with a big butt. Oh my God, that's rare. So they sexually objectify her. Or, wow, Asian women with big breasts, that's rare. They sexually objectify her in that way. An Asian man with a big penis, that's rare. They sexually objectify him that way. But if an Asian man has a little penis, or Asian women with big, or Asian women with small breasts and small buttocks, they treat them as unmarketable, which I think is just reprehensible to me. So all those Asian stereotypes that they're all these robotic servants who are mindless, but they are sexually ravenous, all those stereotypes have got to go. No stereotypes allowed, and their misdepiction of Asians, not allowed, no. Then they misportray Latinas and Latinos. Latinas as they all have big breasts, they all have big butts, they all want to be tamed, and at the same time, they all want to be slave drivers. And they're all feisty, they're all loud, they're all sarcastic, they're all attitude-y, they're all bossy and domineering, and to some extent, they're all pushovers, and they are extremely sexually kinky, every last one of them. And at the same time, they're all sexually enslaved, and they're all quick-witted, and they're all controlling. I hate all those stereotypes, Latinas, because the racism and sexism mixtures are awful. They're both horrible individually, and they're even more horrible collectively. The racism and the sexism I'm talking about. So that's got to go, because not, you know, it's also demonizing Latinas. Not all Latinas have high libidos, but in porn they'll make you believe that, which is a lie in and of itself. And then Latino mean Latin men. They portray Latin men as these horn dogs that stalk women and are construction workers, and They are aggressive sexually. All they do is wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, jackhammer. And all they do is lust. And they're all physically strong. And they're all smart, Alex, who are harsh with the mouth. And that they're all freaky when it comes to sex. And all they do is conquer ladies. I hate all those stereotypes of Latin men. And they make it seem like all Latin men are sex demons. So all these stereotypes of Latin men are just revolting to me. Again, this is all off the top of my head. And then they make it seem like when it comes to Middle Eastern women in porn, they all cover up until you make them feel comfortable. All of a sudden, they are the biggest sexual daredevils ever, that they use their curves to entice dudes, and that they are the cum buckets of men if you're nice to them. They act ultra conservative until you talk about sexual things they like, and all of a sudden they are the most sexual revolution minded women ever, and that they want to be subdued. But once you subdue them, they want to reciprocate that and subdue you sexually, like you sexually subdued them. And that they have this sense of I'm going to have a who can be the kinkiest competition with you. Who can be the most sexually dominant competition? Who can be the most sexually servile competition? And they portray all Middle Eastern women as Muslims. They portray all Middle Eastern women as these damsels in distresses. They treat them all as Middle Eastern Rapunzels. Let down your long hair. These Middle Eastern Cinderellas who are looking for their Prince Charmings, sexually speaking. And I just hate all those stereotypes. Not all Middle Eastern women have moles on their faces. Not all Middle Eastern women have hazel eyes. Not all Middle Eastern women like Middle Eastern clothes to wear. And they have these depictions of Middle Eastern women that are just revolving around, well, they must have low sex drives because they're oppressed in Saudi Arabia. Or they must all not be able to drive because of Saudi Arabia. Or, you know, they're all in cahoots with the Taliban. Or they're all in cahoots with Islamic extremism. And you see those stereotypes in porn, which causes me righteous rage in my heart. Because to misdepict all Middle Eastern women, it's a tragedy to me. And then the other stereotypes they have is of Middle Eastern men. They'll portray Middle Eastern men as they're all polygamous. They're all bigamous. And They want to make babies with every woman that they're married to. And they all want to be fathers. They all want to be married. And they're all abusive household leaders. They always have sex on the brain. They're all misogynists. And they're all queerphobic. And they're all just horror stories in terms of their character. And they're all big fans of harems and man caves. And that they're all extremely religious. And that they're all the only intelligent life forms between them and Middle Eastern women. And that they all are members of terrorist groups. And all they do is bomb and blow up and set fire and suicide bomb. You see a lot of these stereotypes in porn to some extent. These Middle Eastern men are just out here to... And they're all out here trying to have their way with women and making women kitchen in the bedroom tools for men, and that the woman has to be voluptuous all the time. She has to want sex all the time. She can never turn down the man, and she has to do what she doesn't want to do. So you see these stereotypes in porn, and they make it seem like Middle Eastern men have no redeeming qualities, especially when it comes to women. And that Middle Eastern men have these raging hormones that causes them to lack sexual self-discipline. And all these stereotypes are just harmful and hurtful. And then they have stereotypes of indigenous native people. They're all hunters. They're all into nature. They're all gatherers. All they do is prey upon women. They treat women like darts that they throw at. And they all live in teepees and huts. And they're all muscular and built and strapping and muscle bound. And they're all tall in height. And they're all bulky, and they all have these tenor voices when they talk, and that they have these typical Native American accents, and they all live on reservations, and all they do is hunt after non-Native American women, and all they do is do campfires, and they live in tents, and they pursue Native American women whenever they're bored or forcing themselves to be horny, and that they all have these bows and arrows, and that they dress like typical Native peoples. They look like soldiers all the time. They all wear these little they all wear aprons and I just feel like these stereotypes are just hurtful. They're so evil, just annihilating their humanity. Then I feel like in the porn, they stereotype Native American women. These Native American women are all traumatized, unhappy without a man. They all don't like not having children. They all don't like not being married. And they all will sexually make a man's toes curl. And they all make a... They all will have the man breathing hard because they want to sexually satisfy their man to the point where he makes them all... They make them all just tap out and lose their inhibitions, and that they all care about the man's orgasms more than theirs, and that they're all shapely beauties, and that's the only way they could be beautiful. And they eat whatever the man hunts, and they are these unconventional sex lovers. And they're all traditional women. And that the Native American women are like, they all have their eyes on the back of their head and mouth drooling, and they all come when it comes to sex. All these stereotypes in porn are just so disdainful, so disheartening. And I've noticed these stereotypes. Okay, then they do... Okay, let's get to women they call big, beautiful women. They treat them as if, wow, they are the best at oral sex. I hate that stereotype. Not every woman is considered larger in size is a fan of oral sex, right? Or these big women, oh, damn. They all like anal sex, which is a lie. Or they all the best at anal sex. That's a lie, too. Because not all of them are fans of anal sex, like I said earlier. Or these big women, they are just... They last longer in bed. They all last longer in bed. You come the most when it comes to them. They have... You know, they all have the best breasts, the best buttocks, the best vaginas, which is a lie, because not all big women feel those ways about themselves. And that all these big women, all they do is just, they want to take charge in sex. You know, they'll have you explode. The best and the most and the greatest. And these big women, they just, they don't take no for an answer. And they're these drill sergeants and boot camp instructors when it comes to sex. And they're nastier than the men. I hate all these stereotypes of big women. It is so disrespectful, so dishonorable. Okay. Let's go to this point, you know. I feel like, let's address the black stereotypes. I'll do it again. Then there are these black stereotypes. Let's start with black women. The Aunt Jemimas, the Jezebels, the HIV AIDS queens, the sexual predators of men, the ones who cause men to be unfaithful, the ones who provoke men to rape them, the ones who use their brick house appearances to make black men, especially white men, sexualize them to the point of discarding their humanness and humaneness. The ones who make Latino men and Asian men sexually perpetrate them, and the reason why men are deadbeat fathers and they use their African goddess looks to be the stumbling blocks of men, and that they're all these sexual deviants and sexual perverts, and that they're all these hypersexual maniacs, and they just love pimping men and prostituting men, and that they're all these gold digging hood rats who are all a bunch of shenanigans from the TV series Martin. And that all they do is compete with Latinas and who can be the most well padded in terms of breasts, vaginas, and buttocks. And that Latinas are just black women because they're feistier and more shapely than them. And again, this is all off the top of my head. And then I've noticed that lastly, with the black women stereotypes, it's just making it seem like they're all these welfare queens who get paid by soliciting sexual favors from all men, and that's how they rise out of the impoverished ghetto hoods. Hood ghettos. And that they're all con artists of men. That they're all scam artists of men, that they're all Ponzi schemers of men, that they're all choke artists when it comes to men, that they're all these bullshit artists when it comes to men, that they're all these stick-up artists when it comes to men, and that they're all these opportunists when it comes to men. All these stereotypes are cruel, c-r-u-e-l, and it's just cruelty, c-r-u-e-l-t-y. And that you're not a real black woman if you don't have a big butt, big breasts, and big vaginas. The cruelty continues. These are just, it gets crueler and crueler. And then with the black men stereotypes, they portray black men as people who have large penises that injure white women and black women, all the other types of women. And that these black men are sexually predated by Black women, Asian women, Latinos, big women, and Middle Eastern women, and Native American women. They're all trying to conquer the viral, easy to get erections, Black men, and that they all want to rape white women the most, and that they're, you know, and they create interracial relationships out of self-hatred and hating their own race. You see these stereotypes in porn. And that, you know, portraying, you know, like they have this hood porn, and they'll show these Black men and Black women by one of the dumpsters in the hood, in the ghetto. And they show like these Black men as they always play the dozens, always loud. You know, they do that to the Black women too. Loud, playing the dozens. They always cracking jokes, talking shit, making fun of people, making fun of each other. And you know, they like to portray Black women and Black men, because some of the stereotypes are similar, as these, they portray them as coons. They portray them as, well, you Black, you can't be angry. They portray them as, you always got to be strong. And they portray them as, you can't be vulnerable. They portray them as people who put up with white supremacy. And they misportray them as Black supremacy examples. They portray them as they're all poor. Or if they're rich, they are bougie, conceited rich, who like to be white people pleasers. And then I've noticed that in a lot of the porn, they misportray Black men and Black women as always saving each other, always unable to sexually resist each other. And I've seen this the most with Black men, Black women in porn. It's like, okay, Black women are always trying to have sex. Black women are always trying to have as much sex with many Black men as possible. That's how they portray white women the second. They do that to Black women the most, and they do that to white women after. Okay, these white women out here trying to have much sex with many Black men as possible. You'll see that. And then they say that's true for Latinas. That's true for Native American women. That's true for Middle Eastern women. That's true for Asian women. All these women are trying to have as much sex with many Black women as Black men as possible, right? Then they portray with Black women, oh, they're trying to have, you know, as much sex with as many Black men as possible, as many Latino men as possible, as many Asian men as possible, as many Middle Eastern men as possible, as many Native American men as possible, with as many white men as possible. So Black people are the most stereotyped in porn from what I've seen. And they like to portray, they try to have Black men and Black women, they all have the do-rags, the dookie ropes, you know, the urban streetwear, and they all have these bandanas with the gold chains, and they all have these knuckle rings, and they have these gold teeth in their mouth, and they all speak in Ebonics and broken English, and that they always talk too much and they're too bossy when it comes to sex. They always physically make each other do what they want each other to do when it comes to sex all the time. And always getting out of jail and talking street lingo and acting as if they never graduated from higher institutions. They act like they never had diplomas or GEDs. They stereotype every black person as having GEDs, by the way, but they don't show us having diplomas, degrees, certifications, and licensures. They act like that never happens to us black folks. And then I've noticed that when it comes to like black people, they act as if we're all unintelligent, all unscientific, and all unscholarly. And that if we speak well, you're using white folks talk. You see that in some of the porn. You know, they stereotype, like they shame people for, you don't have a big black ass. You don't have big black titties. You don't have big black pussies or big black cocks or big black balls. You're not really black if you don't have these things. You're not really a man. You're not really a woman if you don't have these things. You're not really a man if you don't have these things. The lies just keep being more and more human rights violating and human rights abusing. I know. Or you're not really black if you're not a sexual Olympian. You're not really a woman if you're not a sexual Olympian. You're not really a man if you're not a sexual Olympian. If you lack stamina, you're not really black. You're not really a man. You're not really a woman. If you're not a super kinky freak, you're not really black. You're not really a man. You're not really a woman. And then they have this thing where if you're even the slave speech, the plantation psychology they apply to black people in porn too. They treat us as if, like, they in porn, they make it seem like we're all house niggas and field niggas. I'm only using the N-word because that's exactly how we're portrayed in porn as black people. And that we all have to treat white men and white women as these overseers, these slave masters, these slave mistresses, and these plantation owners. And you can see it in the sex. And that we're so happy in slavery, we're never escaping. And they put, and in porn, it's like they put bounties on us. And they put bounties on all kinds of people in porn. The economic pay disparities. Interracial? That's the only way that you can get paid more if you're black. And in certain cases, that's how you get paid less if you're black. Then you have some people in porn who, well, I'll have sex with black women just off camera. I'll have sex with black women just off camera. My racist family doesn't want me to have on camera paid sex with black men and black women because it makes it feel as if I am ruining the purity of us Anglo-Saxon descendants. I'll date black people, just not publicly, but privately. Because again, I don't want to offend my Ku Klux Klan sympathizing, Nazi loving relatives. The last set of stereotypes, so I'll talk about in this episode are the LGBTQ+ community. They're all flamboyant. They all got these pride flags and rainbow flags and trans flags and bi flags and gay flags, and they all flip. They all are dramatic and lively when they talk. They all flip their wrists when they talk, and they're all high pitch, scratchy, screechy sounding and squeaky sounding when they talk, and they all clutch their hands to their heart when they talk, or they blush easily, always put their hands on their mouths when they talk, or they all love to do child grooming and adult grooming. See, there's all these bullshits in porn. And like, they all are erotic and exotic. And they all are into the color pink and purple and blue and red and yellow. And they're trying to confiscate God's definition of rainbow regarding not flooding people ever again. And you know, you see these bullshits in porn, and they have these things where, well, they all want to lie to you about their sexual identity and gender identity, and they all make you want to win lawsuits over them because of it, as well as prosecute them because of it. They are these sexual slavery captains, and when it comes to sex, they're just a bunch of they have this narcissistic sexual prowess, and they're trying to impose and force you to be gay and trans. All these lies that are within porn. It just keeps causing more and more needless anguish over and over again. And the needless anguish strengthens in size and enlarges in weight and grows taller in height repeatedly. And repeatedly and repeatedly. And that they all love Disney, and they all are into musicals, and they're all artsy. The lies just keep piling up. The myths just keep piling up. And I'm trying to see if there's any more stereotypes I need to talk about. I've noticed that this is all off the top of my head. I think then you have the very last community I'll mention is the sexual stereotypes and the stereotypes in general people with disabilities you find in porn. Basically, they portray people like me as helpless, hopeless, naivete, psychological manipulation worthy, and easy to sexually manipulate, can't do for self, can't talk for self, can't fight for self, can't speak up for self, can't stand up for self, a bunch of doormats, and they consider people like me to be sexually inexperienced. They consider us to not know the difference between sex and sexual abuse. And they portray us as we're all blind, we're all deaf, we're all mute, we're all in crutches, we're all in wheelchairs, we're all lifeless vegetables, and we all do stimming, and we all have lazy eye, and we all have missing teeth, we drool, and we babble incoherently, and the only way somebody wants to have sex with us is if they actually feel sorry for us. It's like, basically, they go, well, y'all are the pity sex, charity sex type of people. And y'all the mercy sex type of people. And y'all are just transactional sex. But they go, can we really have sex with disabilities? It feels like rape because they really not asserting themselves. So all these stereotypes are just so disrespectful. And I've also learned that they basically they see us as one-sided sex. And they see us as all worthy of peace-inducing sex. And they see us as one-sided love. Which I think is just makes me want to vomit. That's how nauseating all these stereotypes of people like me are. So, to sum it up, more of the reasons why I refuse to appear in mainstream porn productions is because they have institutional discrimination porn, structural discrimination porn, ageism porn, caste system porn, class discrimination, also known as classism porn, dialect discrimination porn, ableism disability discrimination porn, genetic discrimination porn, discrimination based on hair texture porn, height discrimination porn, linguistic discrimination porn, lookism porn, sanism, mentalism, or psychophobia porn, racism porn, discrimination based on skin color, also known as colorism or shadism porn, scientific racism, sometimes termed biological racism porn, rankism porn, sexism porn, sexual orientation discrimination porn, speciesism porn, sizeism or size discrimination porn, viewpoint discrimination porn, and again, they have lookism porn. Their porn is centered on discrimination based on age, caste, class, dialect, disability, genetics, hair texture, height, language, looks, mental disorders, race/ethnicity, skin color, scientific racism, rank, sex, sexual orientation, species, size, viewpoints, structures and institutions. In mainstream porn, a lot of it has traditions, policies, ideas, practices, and laws within their institutions. That are glorifying the intersectionality of oppression within their porn. They have procedures and objectives within their institutions that are about making unfair or prejudicial distinctions between people based on the groups, classes, or the categories to which they belong or are perceived to belong within their porn. Their porn is about the involvement of depriving members of one group of opportunities or privileges that are available to members of another group within their porn. Okay, I did do a little bit of reading just now. Notice I said a little bit. I'm getting better. I'm speaking more top of my head and less off what I've just read. Ah, glad that rhymed. So I feel that I've really had to come to grips with the fact that I really recognize that in the world of porn, for example, for me, that's why it's so important to study the category, genres, tags, and porn performer names in porn. I feel like, for example, and this is the best way for me to conclude this episode, and this is what makes me smart. I refuse to watch any of the porn productions of porn companies that lack membership of adult industry bodies. I refuse to watch any of the porn productions of porn companies that lack an RTA restricted to adults labels on the front of their sites. I refuse to watch the porn productions of porn companies that lack mission statements, ethics statements, or transparent information about their production practices. I refuse to watch the porn productions of porn companies that lack a willingness to include behind the scenes content and performer interviews. I refuse to watch the porn productions of porn companies that lack a focus on consent and descriptions and within the porn itself. I refuse to watch the porn productions of porn companies that lack the encouragement of the visitation of the social media profiles of producers and see what they say and what is said about them. I refuse to watch the porn productions of porn companies that lack the U.S.-based Adult Performer Advocacy Committee's APAC's Model Bill of Rights on their sites. I refuse to watch the porn productions of porn companies that lack the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee's Performer Code of Conduct within their site. If they don't have the APAC's Model Bill of Rights Performer Code of Conduct on their site, I don't want to watch their porn. I refuse to watch the porn productions or porn companies that lack the Free Speech Coalition's list of industry guidelines on their site. In other words, if they don't have the FSC's industry guidelines on their website, I don't want to see their porn. So that is very important to me. And lastly, I refuse to watch the porn production of porn companies that lack the bloopers, meaning the mistakes, the stuff that people easily find funny when it comes to their porn. I refuse to watch the porn productions of porn companies that lack the information regarding performer safety on set, safe sex supplies, food and water, and sexual health information, adequate STD, STI testing, being paid fairly on time, who they're performing with, and are they enthusiastically consenting on that, and what's, you know, the declining requested sex acts, and what sex acts are expected. Keeping adult material away from children, maintaining confidentiality with customers, and generally behaving with professionalism and honesty, respect for performers, and making sure that all the porn has all the types of consent, which are and if any of the porn companies' websites lacks all these things, I don't want to see their porn. I notice in mainstream porn, they don't make it clear of the three types of consent on their website. So on their website, they lack affirmative consent. Did the person express overt actions or words indicating agreement for sexual acts? On mainstream porn websites, they lack freely given consent on their websites. Was the consent offered of the person's own free will without being induced by fraud, coercion, violence, or threat of violence? And in mainstream porn, they lack capacity to consent on their websites. Did the individual have the capacity or legal ability or even mental capacity to consent? See, they don't make these things clear on the website, which is why I don't tend to watch their porn, and they're not specific about, for example, they don't make it clear that pity sex is not a part of their porn productions. According to Psychology Today, pity sex happens when people have sex with other people because they feel sorry for them. Pity or mercy sex, an experience in which a person is not particularly attracted to someone who is in love with them and wishes to have sex with them. They sleep with them because they feel sorry for them, like a one-night stand. Pity sex is usually an isolated occurrence. Unlike a one-night stand, pity sex has an altruistic element intended to give pleasure to the other person, but not to the one who pities. After all, pity is not a pleasant emotion. Many people may have sex because they think they quote-unquote should, rather than because they actually want to. This can be a kind of guilt-induced sex. Because mainstream porn doesn't have the no-pity sex clause on their websites, I don't watch their porn. And I noticed that in mainstream porn, they lack the no charity sex clause on their websites, which is why I don't watch their porn. According to Psychology Today, charity sex is common in ongoing relationships that have lasted for a while and usually occurs in an effort to maintain or enhance the relationship. It could be regarded as a kind of investment in the relationship like other investments. You might not see the benefits immediately, but you increase the prospects of reaping benefits in the future. Charity sex typically occurs in a situation of profound love in which the sexual aspect has significantly diminished over time. In charity sex, you love your partner but don't feel like having sex with them. It might not be enjoyable, but it typically does not involve suffering. In some cases, it can and it does. In pity sex, the pitying partner does not want to have sex with the one they pity because they are not physically attracted to them. In charity sex, you usually find your partner attractive and generally enjoy having sex with them. But at this specific time, you do not feel like having sex. Nevertheless, you consent as you believe your partner wishes it or will benefit from it, for instance, because they're feeling somewhat low and sex will improve their mood. Wow. I noticed that pity sex has rape culture elements, actually. That's why I dispute the altruistic element, because pity sex is a form of rape culture. Charity sex is a form of rape culture. I'm like, if love doesn't mean go ahead and do what's wrong, what is improper, love doesn't mean imposing emotional abuse on yourself and your partner. Love does not mean imposing psychological abuse on yourself and your partner. Love does not mean imposing sexual abuse on yourself and your partner. Love does not mean imposing interpersonal abuse on your partner and yourself. Love does not mean imposing erotic abuse on yourself and your partner. Love does not mean imposing sensual abuse on yourself and your partner. Love does not mean imposing romantic abuse on yourself and your partner. Love does not mean imposing intellectual abuse on yourself and your partner. Charity sex is a form of rape culture, plain and simple. There's no love there. Mainstream porn does not have the no peace-inducing sex clause on their websites, which I don't watch their porn. According to Psychology Today, peace-inducing sex is instrumental sex intended to maintain industrial peace in the relationship. As elements of both pity and charity sex, like charity sex, it is a long-term strategy intended to maintain the relationship. Whereas charity sex aims to promote the relationship, peace-inducing sex aims to prevent the deterioration of the relationship. Like pity sex, the agent does not enjoy the sex and often suffers while having it. Peace-inducing sex can be very painful when both sides or more than two partners involved, group sex happens, lack any positive affective attitude. Consider the following description by a person. Last night, I had sex with my significant other, but they did not actually touch me. Just bulldozed me. I was so sad, I felt like crying. I agree with the author Aaron Benzev, PhD, when he says, without a doubt, it is better to have enjoyable reciprocal sexual experiences, but one-sided types of sex can have limited value in certain circumstances. I dare say all circumstances, actually. In all types of one-sided sex, whether pity, charity, or peace-inducing, the sexual interaction is intended to meet the needs of another person, but in charity sex, it takes place in a more positive atmosphere. I disagree, because if you're not meeting your own needs, then you cannot meet the needs of anybody else. If you are imposing self-sabotage, then you're imposing sabotage on others. Sex should never be one-sided. Never, ever. P- Peace-inducing sex is a form of rape culture. So in porn, there is on-camera paid pity sex. In porn, there is on-camera paid charity sex. And in porn, there is on-camera paid peace-inducing sex. Okay, then it gets worse. Like in the world of mainstream porn, they don't specify whether sex on camera is of a sexual friendship or not. And they should make that clear on their website in terms of all the porn they have. Okay, is this friends with benefits? Or are they just co-stars who only have sex with each other on camera? It's confusing. In the case of sexual friendship or friends with benefits, where the connection between the two partners or more than two partners involved is based on sex and perhaps casual friendship, mutual pleasure can be derived. But since such a relationship does not involve romantic love, it is more superficial, less meaningful. Not every person who has friends with benefits relationships will agree with that, so we got to be careful about our specific wordings on people's lives. Just saying. Sometimes, however, people greatly enjoy superficial experiences. Some people who are friends with benefits will not call it superficial experiences. So again, we got to be careful with the wording. Particularly when they do not impose many obligations on either side. Okay, be specific. When there's no imposing romantic obligations. You can have obligations in friends with benefits, relationships for some of the people who do that. It's just that obligations tend to not be romantic. And also, I noticed that in a lot of the in mainstream porn, they don't make it clear, is the sex expedient sex or not, right? Because, okay, are these people who have excellent sexual chemistry, excellent sexual compatibility, and they also get along with each other for all the right reasons in real life, or is this just purely expedient sex? They don't make it clear on their websites. Okay. In the case of expedient sex, people may have sex with someone not out of love or pity, but, well, not out of romantic love or pity, but in order to derive some material benefits such as money or status. The classic scenario would be an attractive young adult and a much older, wealthier adult. In this case, the altruistic element is replaced by the element of greed. Well, expedient sex does not always mean greed, so we gotta not stereotype people's sexual lives. So that's not true for every person who does expedient sex. Not all people who have expedient sex are greedy. So we have to mind our words when we talk about people. Okay, in a lot of mainstream porn, they don't talk about whether they're, you know, make it clear, they don't talk about was there drunken sex or sex while high off drugs in the porn. They don't have that clarity on their websites. For example, drunken sex and or high off drug sex is another type of sex that normal circumstances would not be desirable for some people. But the difference here is that whereas in pity sex, the pitying person does not enjoy the sexual activity, in drunken sex and or high off drug sex, they might. some might not. The conflict in petty sex is between what you do not want and what the other person and or persons do want. In drunken sex and or high off drug sex, the conflict is between what you would not want in sober circumstances and what you want when you are intoxicated and or sky high on drugs. Or cloud nine off of narcotics, so to speak. Or sitting on top of the world because of substances, in terms of the psyche. So, I dare say in the closing of all closings that you know all the reasons why mainstream erotica, mainstream porn tend to disservice individuals such as myself. There is expedient sex on camera paid in porn. There's drunken sex and high off drug sex on camera paid in porn. And there is sexual friendship, friends with benefits on camera paid in porn. There's one-sided sex on camera paid in porn too. And then I've noticed that in porn, in certain cases, they will pay you to have sex with people that they know you dislike, that are known for having negative reputations, that are known for being violent, abusive offenders, and they want you to do sex with and sex acts that they know that you're not a fan of. Imagine you have to have sex with someone who doesn't do self-care. You have to have sex with someone who has no personal hygiene, doesn't do any personal grooming, doesn't brush their teeth, doesn't wash, doesn't shave, doesn't wax, doesn't work out, smells stinky, doesn't use deodorant, doesn't go to the beauty salon or the barber shop. They let their nails grow out way too longly. They have crusty lips and crusty untrimmed toenails. They haven't been to the nail salon in years. Should I say the nail spa in years? And they're assholes. They're verbally abusive, sexually abusive, physically abusive, emotionally abusive, intellectually abusive, erotically abusive, sensually abusive, romantically abusive. Monsters. And you have no chemistry, no compatibility with them, but they'll pay you more to have sex with people you don't like than the people you do like. the people that aren't reputable, they'll cast you to sleep with them for a check more than sleeping with the people you like and want to sleep with for a check. I'm not saying all mainstream porn companies do this, but many of them do all the above. Yeah, I mentioned this episode. And I really must say this. Not all porn makes a bad society. Not all porn creates objectification. Not all porn creates relationship problems. Not all porn creates erectile dysfunction. Not all porn pornifies the brain or wires it negatively, so the brain needs to be rebooted. Not all porn is addictive, and not all porn viewing leads to sexual offending and sexual violence towards women. A lot of the porn and a lot of the sex that were shown in internet movies and television and literature is impulsive, irresponsible, impersonal, uncaring, unfeeling, unthinking sex. Most of the sex in porn is sex without compassionate love, sex without sacrificial love, sex without unconditional love, sex without self-love, sex without neighborly love, sex without empathy. It's body-centered sex, but they ignore mind-centered sex, heart-centered sex, soul-centered sex, memory-centered sex, taste-centered sex, touch-centered sex, smell-centered sex, sight-centered sex, and hearing-centered sex. And a lot of this sex in porn contributes to sexual functioning problems, unwanted pregnancies, sexual diseases, sexual exploitation, porn problems, sexual compulsion / sexual impulsivity, sexual abuse, and poorly channeled sexual energy. In porn, In a lot of porn, they don't show healthy sex, which differs from the abuse and addiction-driven sex that is in a lot of mainstream porn. In a lot of porn, they don't show reproduction, birth control, other safer sex and disease prevention practices within sex. A lot of the sex in mainstream porn is mutually unpleasurable. And they don't show that when people are not sexually on the same page, in other words, when people are sexually mismatched, then sexual turn-ons and sexual turn-offs will not be respected, and the diversity of the sex turn-ons and sexual turn-offs will not be properly displayed. That disruptions, disagreements, disappointments within sex need to be dealt with in the realm of sexual wisdom, sexual clarity, and sexual discernment. And that sexual sensations, erotic sensations, romantic sensations, and sensual sensations need to be of emotional ecstasy, psychological, and intellectual ecstasy as well. I will definitely say this. Porn needs to show co-stars having healthy sex communications guidelines. In porn, the partners need to make a commitment to engage in discussion about intimate concerns. In porn, the partners need to choose a quiet time for discussion when they are not likely to be interrupted so they can give their undivided attention to being with their partners. In porn, people need to sit reasonably close to each other, maintain eye contact, as well as being aware of the tone and volume and wordings of their voices. In porn, the co-stars need to avoid conceited blaming, disrespectful name-calling, untrue accusations, and mean-spirited sarcasm. In porn, the co-stars need to deal with only one issue at a time. In porn, the co-stars need to state specifically and clearly what they feel and need and want. They need to use I statements much more than the you statements. In porn, the co-stars need to maintain an optimistic perspective that positive change is positively possible. And they need to avoid bringing up resentments from the distant past that are easily resolvable. And they need to not torture the usages of the words always and never when they talk to each other. In porn, the co-stars need to listen to each other, actively listen to each other, strive and thrive to understand each other's feelings and needs and wants. They need to communicate that understandings to their co-stars. They can communicate understanding and still have a different opinion or perspective than their co-stars. And as long as what y'all disagree on is minor, it shouldn't be a problem. In porn, the co-stars, when discussing sexual intimacy, when the co-stars are discussing sexual intimacy concerns, they must keep in mind that each other's co-stars are apt to feel scared, embarrassed, or hurt. They need to emphasize what they like and what works well before making a new request or discussing something that bothers them. They must avoid getting sidetracked on irrelevant issues. They need to refrain from I'm right, you're wrong arguments. The co-stars need to, in porn, explore and discuss various options for change. They need to work together to brainstorm how individual needs can be met and feelings addressed more effectively. Make the issues the problems instead of each other. In porn, the co-stars need to see intimate problems as a normal, natural part of relationship. They need to turn them into opportunities to learn and grow as a unit. In porn, the co-stars, if you and your co-star agree to a solution to the problem, try it out and then plan to discuss in the near future how the solution is working for all the co-star parties involved. In porn, the co-stars need to give themselves permission to table discussion of an issue if you feel no progress is being made. You each may get new insights, understandings, thinking about it independently. Make sure you resume discussion within several days. And the co-stars in porn need to seek professional help when needed. Don't allow unresolved sexual issues and just non-sexual issues in general to fester and erode your positive feelings for one another. So I noticed that mainstream porn does not cater to consumers who are avoiding, fearing, or lacking interest in sex. Mainstream porn does not cater to consumers who are approaching sex as an obligation. In other words, mainstream porn needs to be therapeutic to people who are avoiding, fearing, or lacking interest in sex. Mainstream porn needs to be therapeutic to people who are approaching sex as an obligation. Mainstream porn needs to be therapeutic to consumers who are experiencing negative feelings such as anger, disgust, or guilt with touch. Mainstream porn needs to be therapeutic to people who are having difficulty becoming aroused to feeling sensation. Mainstream porn needs to be therapeutic to people who are feeling emotionally distant or not present during sex. Mainstream porn needs to be therapeutic to people who are experiencing intrusive or disturbing sexual thoughts and images. Mainstream porn needs to be therapeutic to people who are engaging in compulsive, inappropriate sexual behaviors. Mainstream porn needs to be therapeutic to people who are having difficulty establishing or maintaining intimate relationship. Mainstream porn needs to be therapeutic to people who are experiencing vaginal pain, penile pain, or orgasmic difficulties. Mainstream porn needs to be therapeutic to people who are having erectile ejaculatory difficulty. In other words, mainstream porn needs to be therapeutic to people who are avoiding, fearing, or lacking interest in sex. Mainstream porn needs to not have any of the sexual symptoms of sexual abuse. So Wendy her name is Wendy Schultz. Wendy Maltz, I'm sorry for butchering her name. Her name is Wendy Maltz. I really respect her because she's helped me to sexually heal in certain respects. She's an internationally recognized sex relationship expert. So I think that Wendy Maltz's words and my words can help improve the porn industry. And these are the things that even ethical porn needs to continue to take all these concerns seriously as well. I'm breathing a sigh of relief.